So I'm going to go ahead and just go ahead and share a little bit here. I want to thank all those who have been speaking while I've been away. I've been gone a bunch here this summer. Went to Africa, and I was just in Baltimore this last week at a lacrosse tournament, and then in Florida for family get together. And so really good to be back, but I'm really thankful for all of those messages and people who have been leading the charge here. I'm sure you guys have received a lot. I've heard great things from a lot of people about Don sharing and David sharing and Stephen sharing and Geneva sharing. And we just have a wealth of gifts and giftings in this place. And I'm really grateful for all of that. I want to jump in on something today, something that I'm reminded of as, I don't know, just this is just fresh in my heart, I guess, as, and I wanted to encourage you. This today is more to just, if possible, to stir us up and to encourage us in our daily response to the Lord and our daily thoughts. Well, I think we need these reminders. I certainly do. But I was reminded today of how God is fully alive. And he's not only alive, but his spirit is alive. His word is alive. Everything that God is and that which he touches and that which he lives within is alive, like us. We are alive. His word is not just alive, but the kingdom that he has established and that he's growing and expanding is alive. God deals with living things. And he brings to life, we've been singing about this morning, that the resurrection is in our veins. He brings things to life. He brings me to life. And sometimes I can feel a bit dead, but when I get my focus reoriented on him, I start coming back to life again. You guys have probably all experienced that. You've experienced that when you met him. You were a dead person, right? And he caused you to come to life. When you heard the message, when you heard the gospel of the kingdom, and you responded to it, you came to life. And I need to come to life all over again many, many, many times. And what I look at and what I view, what my attention is fixed on has a whole lot to do with me feeling dead or me coming alive. I want to read something out of Romans here this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me, or something on your phone. I use that YouVersion. If you guys don't have that, it's on our app, the Wake Church app. You can go to that or download it separately, but it's amazing how many translations you have at your fingertips. I've been really enjoying the Passion Translation over the last several months. Of course, I always enjoy the New American, which is my go-to. I use the Amplified a lot, use the Message. The WEAST is one of my favorites. It's just incredible what we have at our fingertips that we get to access and use to help amplify and bring out and to share with us what God has preserved through several writers for generations and hundreds and thousands of years. It's incredible. But I want to read from Romans this morning. Romans chapter 1. And if I haven't met you, my name is Matt, by the way. Since I have been gone a bit, I don't know some of you. And please come up and introduce yourself to me if I've never met you. I'd like to know your name. Shake your hand. Say hi. I'm not unapproachable. I'm very approachable. But I'm not the best at remembering names, so I may ask you several times. I figured if everyone had a number, I could remember that, but that's not the way it works. And that would be not very personal if we all had a number that we were assigned, but I'm just better at remembering numbers, unfortunately. But I may ask your name a few times, but please come and introduce yourself if I don't see you. Okay, Romans chapter 1, let's go to verse 16. And I want to read just a handful of verses here. This is Paul writing to the Romans, by the way, just kind of a side note. Paul wrote this letter. It was hand-delivered by Phoebe, who went hundreds or thousands of miles. She walked hiding this letter to the Romans during the first century to take it to them. And then when she got there, this was read to the church that met in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Of course, the gospel means the good, glad, merry news that makes someone want to leap for joy. That's what the gospel, it's the news of what Jesus has done, who the Father has sent to save the world, to pay for our sins, to initiate a brand new covenant, to draw us near to the Father. We're no longer servants any longer. We get to be sons and daughters. There's an adoption that goes with this. The good news that our sins have been forgiven, that our chains are broken. This gospel of the kingdom, this is what he's talking about here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, all of that message, and there's a lot more in there. For it, the gospel news, is the power of God. That news has power. Because when you believe it and you receive it, your life changes. You come to life. You're born again. We become resurrected, right? In it, the righteousness of God, excuse me, I've skipped it. For it, the gospel news, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Ah, boy, I need to be reminded of that so many times. Just how simple receiving this powerful message is by believing. I choose to believe and I get the fullness of everything Jesus has done. We should be in awe of that often. Really, should be in awe of that often. Like, I can't believe this deal. You know, if you went car shopping and they decided to give you 50% off, that doesn't happen. But if they did, you would tell everybody about that deal. I got this car for 50% off. It was regularly $30,000, I got it for $15,000. That would be the deal of your week, year, life maybe. But here we are in what Jesus has done for us. Sin had piled up. There was no hope whatsoever. And he paid all of my sin. He set me completely free. There's healing. There's a brand new covenant. I get to live forever. I have eternal life that begins today. I get to live in him. That is an amazing thing. And I want to be in awe of that great salvation. And when I'm not, when my heart gets dull, and what is spectacular is just blah, you know, I know that. That's information, I know it, yeah. Then something's wrong in me. I want to be in awe and in wonder at what God has done. But it says here, everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, again the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man lives by faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. The reason that a person is righteous is because they have faith and they receive the righteousness that Jesus purchased and obtained for us. Then we receive his righteousness. As it says, we can put on him. We put on the robe of righteousness by faith. We do that by faith. So faith is active. Faith is alive. Faith is something I don't just have one time. I need it every day. I need it tomorrow. I need it right now. In fact, the Bible says that these three remain, faith, hope, and love, right? I think they're going to remain forever, not just after time ends in the world, if it ever stops spinning, however God does that. I think we're still going to need faith, hope, and love. I think that continues on. We're going to need faith, whatever God has for us next. We're going to need love. We're going to need hope, and these things are it's who God is, so it will always be there. But the gospel of the kingdom is available to every single person who by faith receives it. It's interesting, one of the things that I do with my friend Josh and Pat, we lead Hydrating Humanity, and Michael, if he's here. And so what we do is we go to Africa, I just came back from there, and we dig wells. I say we, I really don't. These guys do. We have 19 staff in Africa. Africans, they dig wells. And, you know, it hit me several years ago, and you can research this, it's really true, that every person is walking on top of water. We're all walking on water. There's water right underneath me right now. I don't know how deep you have to go to find it, but it's there. Even if you're in the desert, there's water underneath you. So it's available to every single person on the planet. But you have to have someone to come along, either with the right equipment or the right insight and knowledge, and help access that which they already have below them. So all that a water well digger does is starts going into the ground to bring up what's already there for them. It's available, but they just access it. That's what we do. We access what is available and what they've been walking on for thousands of years. And then you bring that out to them. And I thought, you know, the Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. Of course, God does, he has a parallel with everything he does in the natural. And in the spiritual, it's the same way. Jesus has provided salvation for everybody in the entire world. The entire planet has access, really, it's available, salvation, eternal life, forgiveness, freedom from sin. But many don't know. They don't know how to access that. It's there. So we become, as believers, as lights, we become those that access heaven, that share the gospel. Here's the news, which drills a path to what's available up above, and it pours out on us. And so we are doing both of those things in Africa, doing water from below, and then we share the living water from above. Here's how you access this. It's by faith. It's available. Jesus has done it. But you have to believe. You have to grab hold of it by faith. You receive this thing. In verse 20 of Romans 1, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible," speaking of God, "his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that, through what has been made." That's so fascinating to me. And it really is true. Of course it is. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes," he has attributes that are invisible, he is invisible, "but his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." We get to see what he's really like through what he's made. You look at what God has made, and it's an indicator that he's there. It's an indicator of what he's like, of how he loves, of his power. All of those things are there by looking at what he has made. Someone said this, that as, you know, as we advance in technology, as we are able to see things that we could never see before with these microscopes that are remarkable, and they can look right at inside of a cell. And then as we can see through telescopes, the distant ends, or maybe we don't even know, of this expanding universe that they're saying is 13 billion years old. As we see all of these things, it should all the more, according to this as well, show us that God is real, alive, that he's so powerful, because all these things are his fingerprints of what he has done. One, I don't know if he's a physicist, said that one cell in our bodies, just one of those cells, is so complex. It's similar to the complexity of everything going on in the city of New York, in New York City, in one cell. And you and I have 37 trillion of those inside of each of our bodies. For everything to line up, just for one cell, everything to line up and to do what it does, the chances of that, the odds of that happening without any intervention, of just all these proteins doing what they're supposed to be doing, just for each cell, is, they said, one in one to, the, I don't know how to say this exactly, 57,800 zeros behind that number. 11 solid pages of numbers, and one in that number, you know, the chance that one cell would do the things that it does. Yet it happens every single day in trillions of our cells that are lined up, and they've got the stamp, they've got the fingerprint of God all over everything, from the cell level all the way through everything in space. God is doing things. And it says this here, that it's clearly seen. God is clearly seen. All you have to do is look around. And you'd have to have more faith. You'd have to have a great faith to look at everything, to see that the world is finely tuned and the orbit that's elliptical around the sun and the moon going around the earth and then the three going around within the Milky Way, everything is just perfectly tuned. All of the atmospheres, the distance away, gravity working, which no one understands how it works, but it works. Everything lined up perfectly, our fingerprints that God is there. Even though we can't see him with our eyes, we can see him through what he's done, what he's made. So that they, it says, are without excuse. Isn't that something? Every person is without excuse to not believe in God because of what he's made. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And that's interesting to me as well. We're not honoring him as God or give thanks to him for what he's done and doing. This is one thing that I think is so powerful in giving thanks, is that the exact opposite of that. When you and I give thanks to the Lord for something, it's the thing he's not hearing from millions or billions of people who deny that he even exists. We get to give him thanks every day. We get to give him thanks every moment, not just for our food, but for everything, for breath, for life. Giving him thanks is a beautiful thing. If you're a parent and your children give you thanks for what you do for them and all the effort and all the money spent on them and the meals provided and the education provided, all those things, what does that do to your heart? How about our Father when we give him thanks? It does the same type of thing. It touches him in a way that I don't think we can fully understand. It says, but they became futile in their speculations. Boy, there's a lot of those in the world, aren't there? Lots of speculations as to how this formed and why this does that. And, you know, the aliens brought the thing riding on the back of that other thing and then and the pond. And, you know, then it, all those speculations, they're foolishness. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing to be wise, that we understand all these things, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Basically making ourselves to be God, or just worshiping, as, you know, I think one of the descriptions there would be people who worship animals or, you know, have idols that are in the shape of animals and things like that. So mankind has exchanged oftentimes the glory of God or the worship of God for something much less. And maybe even some of the things that he made that are pointing to him. The enemy is all about this deception. You know, one of the things that says in Revelation chapter 12 is that the devil is out to deceive the entire world. It's his job description to deceive. He is trying to deceive at all times to get us to be insulated from what is real and to behold what is real and to believe the reality and to see and to for worship to come out of us once we see what's real. The enemy hates that. So he is working overtime right now, especially as his time is short. At the end, he is working overtime to deceive the whole world. And man, you can see it. Wherever you look, you see the enemy deceiving people. The false religions, the things that I was hearing even recently of people saying, you know, it doesn't matter what religion, all these religions, they all have their truths and they all just end up in the same place. Everything is okay. Everything is, it's all right. And they all get to the same destination. That is craziness. That's called deception. Jesus did not come to die and shed his blood so that you could find the way of Mohammedans to get in the same place. It doesn't work that way. Jesus said this audacious thing. He said, I am the way. I am the life and I am the truth. Or I am the truth and then I am the life. He is truth, he is the way, and he is life. No one can come to the Father but through me, is what Jesus said. That is bold, but it's true. The only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. That's the way God chose it to be. It would be nice, maybe, if there was just a million different ways and you could just live whatever way you want to do, and then y'all end up in the same place. I just came from Florida. If I got on 40 and headed east, and then I got on I-95 and headed north, I don't end up in Florida. I end up in Richmond and then Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and then New York, and I'm going the opposite way. That road never gets me to Florida if I'm going that way on it. I've got to go toward it. Jesus has made it very clear. The scriptures has made it very clear. As much as we would love for everybody to just, it all just to work out where they don't need to hear good news. But that's not the way God set it up. He made it so that what he created points to him, so that he could communicate to us how he has done this for us. And then we could be thankful and recognize what he's done and receive him and be full of life. And as the enemy, one of the things the enemy wants to do is to reduce our vision from seeing what God has made to 3 inches by 5 inches. I'm telling you, this was never more clear to me than this weekend. I am not against smartphones. I have one right here. I carry it around with me. I use it often. But I'm telling you that the enemy will also use anything he can. As much as this can be used for good, the enemy can use this for bad things to get our attention focused on the things that insulate us from God, not draw us closer to him. I was in an airport a week ago today, and it was in Baltimore. I was flying a Southwest flight with my son. We're coming back from a lacrosse tournament. And at the end of this terminal were all these huge windows, and it happened to be right next to the runway. So you could see the planes lined up and taking off, and then they would wait, and then you'd see other planes landing. And I've flown all around the world. I've been in over 30 countries. I've been flying since I was 18. I've been on a lot of airplanes. And it still amazes me that a tube of metal with a couple of pilots, some wings, and a couple of engines, depending on what kind of plane you're on, can pick up speed, get thrust into the air, and then lift up with hundreds of people on the inside. I was in this one plane, which was one of my favorite rides, on an A380. It's like a triple decker. It's got two decks of people and a deck of stuff. Holds up to 800 people on an airplane in a tube of metal that goes in the air, and it stays up there as long as they want it to. Then it comes back down. Do you realize that there are over 87,000 flights every day in our country? 87,000. At any one point in time right now, there are 1.5 million people in the air above us. I do this often when I'm outside at home. I look up and usually I can see no less than 6 planes in the air from where I live. About any time of the day, at night too, I do the same thing. You see the blinking lights, and I'm thinking there are hundreds of people above my head right now. It's fascinating to me as I watch these planes and I think people didn't get to do this 100 years ago. They had, you know, the Wright brothers were just starting out in 1903. There weren't any commercial flights for a long time, and here we get to travel around the world. I met a missionary when I lived in Asia. I met a missionary there. He was probably 20 or 30 years older than me. And he said to me, "Matt, you know, when we went on the mission field in the beginning with my parents," he said, "it took us 3 months on cattle ships to get to Asia. And I can fly there in 2 days now, or a day and a half. I'm there." It's incredible the technology that we have. So I'm in this terminal, back to my story, and I'm watching planes take off. And it's just like, it doesn't get off. It's like, wow, man. That's incredible, all these hundreds of people. And I looked around the terminal, and I'm not being condescending in this, it's just an observation. Not one person was not looking at their phone. Every single person in the terminal was just looking at this, and these planes are taking off. And I thought, man, look at this. This is amazing. All these planes, the power, the thrust, and how safe it is. 87,000 flights a day. Not one of them went down today that I know of, or yesterday, or the day before. Just incredible. And then we get on the flight, and we're flying, and it was Southwest, so you don't get to pick your seat, and we were one of the last ones, so I got a seat I didn't want. And as we're flying, the person over next to the window had their shade open. And it was spectacular. There were columns of clouds that were thousands of feet in height. Obviously different shapes, so unique with the sun setting. And it looked like something beyond what a movie could come up with. As we're flying between these huge pillars of clouds, we're in the sky flying in the clouds. Think about that 200 years ago, saying to someone, I was flying up there in the clouds today. Just soaring around. I mean, they'd go, you're nuts. That's impossible. That can't happen. What's happening right now every single day? 1.5 million people are doing it right now. And I looked around and no one is looking outside. And I wanted to say, hey, open the shades, look at that. I didn't. But I wanted to, and my heart just, it was like my heart began to grow and to leap on the inside. And I started to be, it's like thankfulness for the splendor and the creativity and the power of God, and that he would lend technology and information to us to use to do this. And then I get to see from a perspective that's not just on the earth, but that's at 35,000 feet. I get to look outside and see the ways that he's made things from a different angle. And I just wanted to read the scriptures. It just caused me to just want to worship on the inside. I put my headphones on and I'm just thinking about God's goodness and how powerful he is and how wonderful he is. It causes me to worship. But the enemy doesn't want you doing that. He does not want you looking at what God made and enjoying it, because worship will start coming out of you. It starts to leak out of us. In Daniel 12, an angel said this to Daniel. Here's what the angel said to Daniel. Those who have insight, and this was at the end of what he said at the end of the book of Daniel, speaking of the last times. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words that I've just given to you. Seal them up in the book until the end of time. And then he describes a little bit of what could be the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Well, if there's a definition of going back, many going back and forth, how about flying over the ocean in a day? There are many going back and forth right now. I think that's an indicator of the times that we're living in. Knowledge has increased dramatically. These two things speak of, based on what the angel is saying, that we are living in the end times. We're living in the last of times. And we don't know how much time we have left, but we're in that time. I've observed something that, just bear with me in this here. I was in a large city earlier this year, and as I was looking around and experiencing the city and the people and what was going on, a little bit as an outsider, because I'm not in a large city very often, this observation that I had came to me, and it was this, that, you know, we haven't always had concrete either. We haven't always flown in the air. We always haven't had concrete or electricity or cars or all these things. But over time, we have insulated ourselves from the earth with concrete, especially if you're in a large city. Sometimes if you live in a large city, like my son's moving to New York in the next couple of weeks. I know the Elliots have kids in New York City. You may not see a lot of green unless you're Central Park. But outside of that, you can see a lot of concrete. We've insulated in the cities due to need in a city. But you've got concrete and asphalt everywhere. You're not going to touch the soil with your toes, right? And I've recognized this, that in the places where there's the most insulation from the earth, it's the most liberal thought and lack of morality. Think about that. If you look at a map of people who believe that God exists, that he's real, and that he loves you, and that you can follow him and hear his voice, the cities are the least populated areas that have those beliefs. They are insulated from what we were made from. It says in the beginning that God formed the earth. He brought the dirt and the earth out of the water. So it all started with water. The heavens are built with water. The earth was built with water. It says that the beams of the heavens are laid in the water. God does things differently than we do it. Then when he formed the earth, it was all water. He drew earth out of the water. Then he drew man out of the earth. And we're made up of 70% water, just like the earth is 70% water. We came from the earth. That's the way God made it. And so the more that we get disconnected from what he's made, the more insulated we become from who God is and unlike him. Isn't that interesting? Which is one reason why I need to stop staring at this so much and watching what he's made and looking at what he's done. Because when I do that, my heart gets realigned with who he is and worship comes out of me and I'm thinking clearly. You and I need to pause often and stay in wonder at what God has done. And when we don't do that, then there's this insulation, a bad kind of insulation between us and who God is. When I'm just looking at news and sports and all those things, there's an insulation between what is real and me, and it's a bad thing. I need to gaze at the beauty of God, and all of a sudden my thinking stays right. And to stay in wonder at what he's done for me. And I think that's one reason why Jesus said, as often as you do this, take communion, receive communion, remember me. Because when you remember me, you're gonna remember what I've done for you. And remember what I've done for you is gonna cause you to worship and think clearly. It's gonna cause you to give thanks. So you can still, I'm not against cities. You can live in a city. You can be surrounded by concrete. But I'm just saying in generalities, that's an observation that I have. Those who are in the country, those who are in the farms, those who are connected to the soil, to the dirt, tend to be, to still have a retention of morality and thought that is toward God. Then other things, does that make sense to you? Have I offended deeply everyone in here? Just going through an observation. So this morning, when I woke up this morning, I woke up and here's another observation. I've noticed for myself that if I will be quiet and pay attention and focus, that there's always a song going on inside of me. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever tried to pay attention to what song is going on in there? Sometimes it's in my spirit, sometimes it's in my head. So there's a song going on somewhere in there. And if I'm quiet, I can hear it. And it might be something I've heard yesterday or it was on the radio or whatever and it gets lodged in there. Or you're in worship today and tomorrow morning you're singing one of these things that they just sang today because it goes in there. Your spirit is alive and that's why we wanna be putting in the right songs because it replays. And in the night, I didn't realize this and I haven't thought of this song. I've not sung this song in a long time, but I woke up and my spirit was singing, "How Great Thou Art." Just was coming out of me. And I was like, wow. But with the words, I'm going to read you the words of how great thou art. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds that your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe is displayed. Sounds like Romans 1. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then he says the next verse. And when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. the last verse, when Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation and lead me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow with humble adoration and proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then it says, my soul sings, how great you are. When we see what he's done, our soul begins to sing. When we see what he's made, my soul begins to sing. When I'm watching a bird outside and it's singing away, I can start to sing on the inside. Look what God has made. He caused this little creature to fly. I don't understand how, but he does. One of the things I think that we should do is to stay fully awake and fully alive by looking what he's made, at what he's made, and remembering where that's from. If I can do that daily, if I can, I will stay awake. And it says in Ephesians 5, let me read this last, well, I have two more verses. This last, well, one of the last passages, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise ones, making the most of your time. Make the most of your time, which is another thing that this thing tends to try to steal, is making the most of my time. Because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I need to ask him, what's your will? Jesus, you said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter your kingdom. Not everyone who does miracles, who raises the dead, heals the sick, prophesies in your name, will enter your kingdom with you. But you said, only the ones who do your will. And that you know. So Lord, what's your will? Let me know your will and walk in it. It says this, make the most of your time, for the days are evil. Do not get drunk with wine. Doesn't say don't drink, says don't get drunk with wine. For that's dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Sounds like how great thou art. Sounds like Romans chapter 1. Always giving thanks. And here's the other part. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. Boy, that did talk about putting the devil to flight. It's considering what God has done and giving him thanks for it. That's the exact opposite of what the enemy wants you to do. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Last verse, Psalm 34, verse 1. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. They're just praising there all the time. Just keeps wanting to come out. I'm boasting of you and all of your works, the things you've made, the things you've done, who you are, how you do things. I'm talking about it. I'm bragging on you. So let all who are discouraged take heart. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Let's make his name glorious to all. So I would like to encourage all of us today to stare into the eyes of your spouse for a long time and notice the little dots in their eyes, and to look at one of your children, stare at them. Maybe you're not married, maybe you don't have children. Take a walk outside. Stare at a tree, at a bird, at a sunset, at water flowing in a river, at 1.5 million people flying in the air, and just considering what God has allowed us to do and what he's done. Think about what he has done and be in awe of him, and let your heart begin to bubble up with praise and worship and adoration. Instead of all the things that are wrong in the world, let's look at what God has done and cause our hearts to come alive. I'm married 23 years today with my wife. Yeah. So I want to do that That's amazing to me that we, you know, that God has done it 23 years today. We said I do, and I get to stare into her eyes today. Get to thank the Lord for her. When I look at our children, what God has made, they're miracles. Every person is a miracle. Every single person walking on this planet, living on this planet, is an absolute miracle. How God caused them to come to life, formed them in the womb with his own hands. We get to live this life full of the spectacular all around us. So how about we do this? Would you guys mind standing with me as we go? I'd like you to think about something that causes you to be in awe of God. Is it a scripture? Maybe you've got this scripture, and every time you read it, it's like you just want to worship. Maybe it's a song. When you sing this song, when you hear this song, you come alive. Maybe it's an experience when you are out walking, or you get to the mountains, or you get to the beach, or you are watching birds, or whatever it is. What is it that causes that inside of you to proclaim his goodness, to want to worship God? And then if you could think about that, and then if you could just find someone that you don't know very well and tell them that experience. Let's share with, that's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, to share with one another songs, hymns, spiritual songs, something that God does inside of you, if you could share that with someone else. And then we're gonna go right after that. We've got ministry team members that will be up here. They'll pray for you if you'd like to receive prayer. Don't forget your kids after that. All forgotten kids will be given a cappuccino and a free puppy. So I heard that. I'm kidding. Okay. So if you could find someone you don't know very well, which means not your spouse, find someone else and just share with them something that is meaningful for you, something that causes you to come alive. Let's just talk. Let's just share with some of that, those things with one another. And then you can have an awesome day, a great week. Bless you guys.